Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Nigel announced that I'm from Shield Hill in Falkirk. I'm not originally from Shield Hill in Falkirk, but that's kind of where I am now. But he announced it twice that I was from Falkirk, and I was a bit worried coming to Dunfermline that people from Dunfermline might throw things at people from Falkirk, because I think there's a wee bit of a rival. There's a chap nodding up the back there. But I'm not really from Falkirk, so you don't need to throw anything at me. Well, I was asked to come and to speak to you all today, and I had to give it some thought in terms of what I'm going to speak to the people about today in Dunfermline. And Nigel said, there's a meal afterwards. And I went, what sounds is Aidamer and Nolan cooking? And if Nolan and Aidamer's cooking, it's going to be a feast. So I'm not trying to set expectations at all, but you're in for a treat later on. And when I thought about that, there's really only one story in the Bible that I thought would be really appropriate to speak to you about today. So I'm going to read from the Bible. It's the only authority that we have to speak to you about. It's not our ideas, it's what the Bible says. And I'm just going to read a short passage from the Bible in Luke's Gospel. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to it. If you've not got a Bible, then don't worry, I'll try and read as clearly as possible so you understand what it says. So we're going to read Luke chapter 14, and we're going to read just 8 verses from the Bible. Now, before we read this, this is called the Parable of the Great Supper, or the Parable of the Great Feast. That's why this is the only story, really, that we could read about. Now, we've got a children's club across in Shield Hill, and we've been going through the parables with the children this year, and we drummed into the children what a parable was. So we repeated it and repeated it. This is what you do with children, you just tell them over and over again until they understand what you mean by that. Well, what we've been drumming into the children was, what is a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? So that's what the kids parrot fashion back to us. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That just really means that this is just a normal story. It's just a normal story, but it's got heavenly meaning in terms of there's significance to all of the words in this, and hopefully today will help you understand this earthly story, but more important, you'll understand the heavenly meaning behind these verses that we're going to read to you. And if you've got a Bible like mine, the words that we're going to read today are in red. And if you've got a Bible like mine and the words are in red, that just means that it's Jesus that said these things. The Lord Jesus who said these things, and people wrote down what he said. So we'll just now read 8 verses, Luke chapter 14, reading from verse number 16 down to verse number 24. Then said he unto him, so this is the Lord Jesus, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, or invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we know and trust that God will bless the reading of his precious word this afternoon. Well, I just want to go through this story just very simply this afternoon, just so that we all understand. It's just an earthly story, just a normal story. And what this story tells us, it tells us about a rich man who made a feast. We know he was a rich man because he had servants. I don't know if any of you have servants. Maybe there's some rich folk here with servants. But this man had servants. He was a rich man. And he had this great feast, and he had this great supper, and he invited lots of his friends. And whenever the supper was ready, and it was time for the people to come, it says that they all just began to make their excuses. And maybe you've been in that situation, you've invited people, and they just make excuses, and it's quite annoying, quite frustrating. And they all didn't want to come, and they made their excuses, and then eventually the servant gets sent out to go and bring in the less fortunate, the ones that were blind and maimed and halt, and he then goes out into the highways and hedges, and this man, this rich man, he wants to bless as many people as possible, because it says, and yet there is room. He wanted his house to be filled. He wanted all of the things that he prepared, he wanted that to be of use to other people. And that's really the simple story that we want to kind of consider this afternoon. Well, the first question that comes to my mind when we read this story is, well, what was the purpose in this supper? So the purpose of your feast this afternoon, or your supper, is it's to celebrate the end of Kids Club for another year, to get your prizes and to reward everyone for all that they've learned over the last year. But it doesn't really tell us the reason for this supper. It doesn't tell us in the passage that we've read this evening why this supper. And the only thing I can really surmise with any confidence is that this rich man, he wanted to bless others. He wanted to help others. He wanted to be kind to others. And that's really the first point that I want to make to you this afternoon, is that God wants to bless you. We live in an evil world. You know that. You read the papers and you see some of the stuff that I'm sure happens in Dunfermline, just as the same as it happens in Falkirk. And we live in an evil world. It's not a very nice place, but we do live in an evil world. And yet, in spite of this evil world, can I tell each and every person, from the youngest to the oldest, that God wants to bless you. He wants to help you. And you say, well, how is that? How does God want to bless us? I don't feel very blessed, and I don't really understand how God wants to bless us. It seems quite an abstract thing to think about, that God wants to bless us. Well, can I tell you this afternoon that the reason God wants to bless you is he wants to forgive your sin. Now, you might think that's a strange thing for me to say. In 2024, God wants to forgive my sin. What does that even mean? Well, again, with the children, we regularly teach them stories from the Bible, and when I ask them what sin is, they always tell me the same thing, because I've drummed it into them time and time again. And sin is simply this. It is thinking or doing bad things. It's to disobey God. That's what sin is. And if you're to look into your own heart this afternoon and truthfully answer it, have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever thought something bad? Have you ever had to say sorry for something or regret something? I think you would have to honestly answer that in terms of yes, I have. Well, if that's the case, dear friend, then you've sinned. We've all sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person, from the youngest to the oldest, it's just in us. It's just in us. We can't help it. We just do these bad things, and we say bad things, and we think bad things. It's just in every single one of us. And the reason for that, dear friend, this afternoon, is that if you look back in the Bible and you look back in history, we're all the children of Adam. We're all descendants from Adam, and he sinned. And we're just like him, and we all sinned. And you might think, that's a bit of a strange thing to say. Can I just tell you a little story just to illustrate this problem? From the very youngest, we all have a problem. And the problem that we have is the problem of sin. The story I want to tell you is, I used to tell this story, and I said, I've got a nephew, a little nephew, but he's about 6 foot something now, he's about the same height as me, and his name's Logan. He lives down in Prestwick, down in Ayrshire. Well, before Logan was born, and Logan is the first grandchild, my parents' first grandchild, and it was Logan that made me an uncle for the first time. And whenever his mum, Michelle, told us all that she was expecting, there was much excitement about this baby that was going to be born. And some of you will have been through this process that at 12 weeks you go for a scan and they check that the baby's all good okay. And at 20 weeks you go for a second scan. And at 20 weeks, and for the children, they put a wee thing on the mum's belly and they see the baby inside the mum's tummy. And at 20 weeks, it's called an abnormality scan. And what they're doing is they're just checking everything's okay. Check everything's okay with the baby. Well, when Logan was still in Michelle's tummy, and they did the abnormality scan on Michelle, what that showed up with Logan is there was a problem with Logan, even before he was born. And the problem that Logan had was there was something wrong with his kidney. So even before Logan was born, there was a problem in the baby. Even before he was born, we were much worried about what was going to happen, and looking at him now, it wasn't really a problem, because he's a strapping lad, and he's no problems at all with little Logan. But, you know, if you actually look back at history, Logan's father, my brother Sam, had a problem with his kidneys when he was about 10 years old. And if you look back to my dad, Sam's dad, Logan's grandfather, my dad had a problem with his kidney. And you see, there was this problem which was hereditary, which was passed down from my father to my brother to my nephew. Just running the family, just runs right through. And dear friend, this afternoon, just bringing that little story hopefully illustrates to every person in the hall, from me to Graham up the back, even before we were born, we had a problem. It's something we inherited from our forefather Adam. And the great problem that we've got is that every single one of us in this hall, the Bible says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I hope I don't offend anybody by that, but that's what the Bible says. It says all of us have this problem. And that's why you read the papers and you see what happens in the streets of Inverness and you see these evil things that happen. The problem is the problem of sin. But dear friend, this story that we've read to you this afternoon, and the great news, what the gospel means, good news, is that God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. Just like this man wanted to bless these other people, God wants to bless you. How does he want to bless you this afternoon? He wants you to have your sins forgiven. Our sin is a barrier between us and God. And God wants to bless you because he wants to forgive your sin. Now the way he's done that is he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, which I'm sure the children learn about when they come to Bible Explorers. He sent his son who was without sin. He lived a perfect life and he went to the cross and he died, not because he had any sins, because he was sinless, but he died on the cross at Calvary to pay the price for your sin and mine. He was a sacrifice. He was a substitute on your behalf. He died for the sin of the world, so that you don't need to pay the price of sin. And really, that's the first and the most important point, really, to understand this afternoon, is that God wants to bless you. And the way he can bless you is he sent his son to die for your sin and for mine. So the first thing we need to do is understand we're a sinner. We need to be forgiven of our sins. And Christ died on the cross for our sins. You know, the next thing that we read, or the first thing really we read is this, is a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And it then says, and sent his supper at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So really the idea here is, he kind of told them there was going to be a party, and when the party was ready, he said, come, because it's all ready. So they didn't really have any excuses. I don't know if you've ever been to a wedding and you get sent an invitation 3 months in advance, or you get a save the date reminder. That's really the idea that we've got here, is there was an invitation given out, and when the supper was ready, the servant came to say, it is now ready. Well, this invitation that we hear was to many. But the message of the Bible that we present to you this afternoon is a message for the whosoever. It's for everybody. Everybody in the hall, everybody in the world can come into the blessing that we've talked about of sins forgiven. This is a whosoever message. There is nobody excluded from this message. There's nobody, can I just tell you, there's nobody too bad to receive the forgiveness of sins, to receive the blessing of God. But can I also remind you that there's nobody too good to not receive the mercy of God. Maybe you're in the hall and you're thinking, well, that's all fine about sin, but I just look up my street and I see the people and they do much worse things than me. We're not really interested in that, dear friend, this afternoon. We're here to think about you and to consider you before God. And this message is for the whosoever. It is for absolutely everybody. Everybody in this hall, everybody in Dunfermline, everybody in the world is included in this message. It then says in verse number 17, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now, the thing I really want us to learn from that is that they didn't have to bring anything. You ever been to a party and you've had to bring a dessert, or you've had to bring some soup, or you've had to maybe you've had to pay to get in, or you've got to do something? Well, this invitation that was given out, this earthly story with heavenly meaning, was simply this: come, for all things are now ready. And that's the gospel message that we present to you this afternoon, is what do you have to do to receive the blessing of God? You have to do what it says here. Simply come, for all things are now ready. The great thing about the gospel message is there's nothing that we need to do to receive the mercy of God. There's no work that we need to do. There's not a certain level of spirituality that we need to attain. There's not a price that we need to pay. We simply need to come because Jesus done it all. When he went and died on the cross at Calvary, he said something on the cross. He said, it is finished, or it is complete, it is done. The work that Christ did on the cross at Calvary was to pay the price for the sin of the world. Pay the price for your sin, and to pay the price for my sin. And the message that we come to present to you today is, come, for all things are now ready. There's not some funny thing you need to do, or a price you need to pay, or works that you need to do, or try to get better at things. You simply need to come. You know, when I was a little boy, I'm one of five children, and my mum and dad took me to gospel meetings all of the time. They were Christians, and they took me. And I used to think, you know, that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't ready to become a Christian. And it was because I used to fight. I had three brothers and a sister. I used to fight with them. I used to think bad things. I used to say bad things at school. I used to fight with them all of the time. And I used to think, maybe tomorrow, if I didn't fight with my little brother or my little sister, and I tried a little bit harder, well, maybe then God would forgive me. Maybe then I would be saved. The Bible doesn't teach us that. It says what we have here, come, for all things are now ready. This isn't about turning over a new leaf. This isn't about trying harder. This is simply about acknowledging that you are a sinner before a holy God, and you need his mercy, and you need his forgiveness. There's nothing left for us to do. Jesus Christ has done it all. He paid the price for your sin and for mine on the cross at Calvary. In verse number 18 to verse number 20, we read those words, they all began with one consent to make excuse. You know, it doesn't say reasons. It doesn't say they all began to give their reasons. It says they all began to make their excuses. Just excuses. That's what it says. And they were quite foolish people. There was one that said, I've bought a piece of land and I need to go and see it. You ever heard of anybody that's bought a piece of land and they haven't seen it before? And there was another one who bought five yoke of oxen, who bought cattle for work in the land, and he needed to go and check that they were okay. He went to go and check they all had four legs, and they could pull a cart or a plough or whatever it had to do. Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous? I had to go and prove it. And another one said, I have married a wife, and I simply can't come. They all began to make excuses. Can I ask you a question today? Maybe you've heard the gospel before, or maybe you've heard the gospel for the first time today. Can I ask you, what's holding you back? What's your excuse? Not a reason. There's no legitimate reason to not accept the mercy of God, the free gift of salvation. What is it? What is it when you think about this message that's holding you back? What's your excuse for not accepting that Christ has paid the price for your sin and for mine? You know, in verse number 21, it says, the master says to the servant, Go out quickly. Maybe you're thinking about this message today and you're thinking, I'd like to know more about that. I'll maybe find out more about that this week. Or I'll maybe look about it. I'll maybe think about it next Sunday. Can I just gently remind you that this message is an urgent message? We're not promised tomorrow. And I know that sounds like quite a stark thing to say, but it's true. I can tell you lots of stories. And maybe you've got your own stories about tragedy. And people had great plans. There's meetings happening over in Musselburgh and there was a lady, and she was planning to be there on the Sunday night. And it turned out, they found out the day before that the lady had died. She planned to go to the gospel meeting, and she died before she ever got that opportunity. Can I tell you in the hall this afternoon that if you're thinking about these things, don't put it off. This message is urgent. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is an urgent message. It's why the Master said, go out quick, go out quick. You know, the thing I find lovely again about this story is that this Master, he wanted to see his house filled. He didn't want any of this to go to waste. He didn't want any of the blessing to go to waste. He wanted everybody. He wanted as many people as possible. And this message I've already told you is for the whosoever. This man, he wanted his house to be filled. Do you know, the house that we're talking about spiritually is heaven. God would want, the Bible says God wants all men, all people, everywhere to be saved. God wants to bless you. And there's room in heaven for you. Do you know, one day heaven will be filled. That's not because it's a small place or they'll run out of space, so to speak. One day heaven will be filled because the last person is saved. And there will be no more opportunity for you to be saved. Can I ask you, will you be in heaven? Will you have your sins forgiven? You know, when you partake of this meal this evening, maybe you could just think about these things. And think about the fact that God wants to bless you. He wants to save you from your sin. And remember that the words of this parable are this: come, for all things are now ready. There's nothing left for you to do. Christ has paid the price in full. He has done the work. Now, at the end of this meeting, perhaps you will think about these things, and maybe you'll have some questions. If you've got questions about what we've spoken about, then there's lots of people here, myself included, that would be more than happy to answer your questions. Like, we'll not pressure you in any way. We'll not buttonhole you. We'll not press you in these things. But if you want to speak about these things, come and ask us your questions. If you're troubled about these things, don't put it off. And I just urge you to take these things seriously. God wants to bless you, and the reason he wants to bless you is because you're in great danger. And you're only a step from salvation. How do you get it? How do you come into the blessing of what we've talked about? Simply this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. If you want to come into the blessing of knowing sins forgiven and peace with God, all you need to do is to bow the knee to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. And what a joy to know that we don't need to do anything. Come, for all things are now done. We trust that God will bless you this afternoon, and we'll just take time to pray together and to give thanks for the food that has been prepared.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.